Welcome to this week's episode of the North Bible Church Podcast. Now, let's join our pastor as we open God's Word together.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, can we show appreciation to the worship team? Megan, Esther, thank you so much. It was beautiful. I'm Brent. I'm one of the pastors here. Are you guys cool with me sharing a story real quick that has nothing to do with my sermon? Thanks. Okay. So this past week on Wednesday evening, we had youth group, and on the first Wednesday of every month, we kind of switch things up, and I teach at the top, and then we go to In-N-Out as a group. And one of my sixth graders named Josiah Perez, if you know JoJo, you know he's like the sweetest kid ever, got a heart of gold. He came up to me as we're waiting for our food, and he said, "Hey, Brent, there's a lady that wants to take a picture with me. Is that okay?" And I was like, "No, that's random, dude." So I look over, and there's this woman crying really hard. And I was like, "What'd you do?" Not really. He's like, "Hey, I prayed for her." So I went over to her, and I said, "Hey, what's going on? My name is Brent. This is Josiah. I'm his pastor." And she said that she was visiting for a business meeting, and she was meeting up with a friend that's in the valley, and she was reminiscing and spending time with this guy because she lost her son this past June to fentanyl poisoning. And Josiah, just being Josiah, saw this woman, saw that she was sad, and he walked up to her and he goes, "You look sad. Can I pray for you?" And she just started crying hysterically. And Josiah just took time to pray for this woman. And then she was so moved that she's like, "Hey, my other son, like, we believe in Jesus. And I wanted to take a picture of this sweet boy to see how God moves." So Josiah was cool with it. I sent a text to Mark and Steph, Josiah's parents. And Josiah was so cool. He took a couple of the other sixth graders. He just brought them in to pray for this sweet lady. So me, Josiah, we spent some more time praying for this girl. And I want to let God be God in this moment. I like sharing God stories, how it can spur you on to love and good deeds. So whatever this story does for you, I'm going to let God be God and work in your heart. But Josiah, I call it God grit, having a worldview, living in the kingdom of God, and just seizing opportunities. And you can look at this as like, oh, it's a sweet 12-year-old little boy being cute. It's not that. It's a kid that gave his life to Jesus and wants to be used by God in a situation. So hopefully that encourages you this morning. For whenever you're out, have a God grid, a worldview that says, "I live in the kingdom of God. I'm going to look for and be sensitive to the Spirit and seize opportunities." So JoJo's not here, but I wanted to give him a shout out just because I love that kid. He's got a heart of gold. And so hopefully that encourages you this morning, because you're going to go to lunch today, maybe. You're going to be out and about. But how can you seize opportunities that God places in front of you? Because there's opportunities every single day. So keep your eyes open and respond to the Spirit. So yay for JoJo. Yay for Sunday. Yay for spring break. Yay for spring break. Glad you guys are here. I want to ask you a question. And you might have to go back in the memory bank a little bit to try to remember something. Because I realized when I was wrestling with this question, as an adult, it doesn't affect me as much as it did when I was a kid. So my youth are in here. So don't fall asleep on me. Pay attention, because this is very important for you to listen to today. There's a lot of practical application in this passage we're going to work through. But when was the last time you had to defend yourself against somebody who made a false accusation or lie against you? When was the last time you had to defend yourself against someone that made up a lie about you? Raise your hand if you've ever been slandered. Raise your hand if anybody's made up a lie about you. Now raise your hand if you've ever made up a lie about somebody. God knows. Okay, but the reality is, do you remember how it made you feel? Do you remember how you responded? Okay. When people make up lies about us, it's so easy to get bent out of shape when we're criticized for things that aren't true. Because it's lies, we feel like it attacks our character, and we react emotionally and respond like we have to defend ourselves. Like when we hear a lie, we want to put our fists up and go right to that person playing Peter Cetera. "I am the man who will fight for my honor." No? Okay. Let me open my water, okay? So when I lived in Southern California, I want to share a story real quick. When I lived in Southern California, we didn't live too far from Hollywood, which meant like we'd go out and about and we'd see celebrities, which was kind of cool. There's a reason I'm saying this. I'm not just like name dropping or something. But like we'd go down to Malibu and we'd eat dinner and stuff and we'd see celebrities. And my claim to fame is at our church, if you've seen the movie Castaway, you know Wilson, the beloved character, the inanimate object, the volleyball, the guy that created that went to my church, which is just like really cool. That's like starstruck for me. But when COVID hit, there was a gentleman that reached out to the church to see if somebody would be able to grab his groceries. So for like 3 months, I took this guy, Tim, his groceries. And what I learned about Tim talking with him, we talk on the phone, was he worked with a lot of Imagineers for Disney, which at that time I was like, oh my gosh, that's the coolest thing ever. So talking with Tim, I realized that like one of my favorite rides is Pirates of the Caribbean. When you start, you go into the bayou scene and there's these little fireflies, like little green lights. He created those, which I was like, that's so cool. So all it is a battery pack with a little LED bulb. But he started a company because like Disney people, if they could get their hands on something like that, that's awesome. So we were talking, I was like, dude, like start a business, like sell these things. And then he was like, do you want to help me out? I was like, yeah, sure. Like it's COVID, we'll just do our thing. So he sent me a video on how to make these things. So Brianna and I one night, my wife, we made like 40 or 50 of them, exactly how he said. And we sent it back to him. And I get this has been like 3 months of like talking with this guy, taking him groceries. And he responded with a video that was pretty rough, saying some pretty rough things about me. And so Brianna and I were like, I just don't know if we want to get tangled up in this. So I sent him, I called him and I was like, hey, Tim, man, listen, I just don't know if this is going to be the best thing for us. And he cursed me out and like he sent me a text that said, I hope you and your family die of COVID. And then it's okay. We're going to move on. Okay. I'm not saying it's not about this guy. Okay. And then he sent a text that said, or, and then he sent another text that said, or you get in a car and go drive off a cliff with your family. And I was like, that's my choice, and that's not on my to-do list today. So we kind of cut ties, and then, so a month later, there were new people at church, and they came up to me, and they said, are you Brent? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, you seem nothing like was written in that Yelp review. And I said, oh, come again? And they pulled up this Yelp review written by this guy that said, I'm an agent of Satan, that anybody goes to this church will be cursed. And he said all these lies about me, okay? And these people, I had an opportunity, okay, to either respond and get super mad at this Tim guy, and they wanted to know what happened. I was like, it's a long story, and they're like, well, we want to know a little bit about you and what happened because it just seems so not you. So I told them what happened, but I had the opportunity to either react or respond based on a lie that was told about me. And my initial reaction was I got so mad at this guy because I'm like, people don't want to come to this church because of what he wrote. Okay? So in that opportunity, I was like, I don't need to react. I can just respond with what is true. I don't even have to address the lies. I just get to tell my side of the story. Okay? So there's lies about me, and I had the opportunity to either react and get all mad that this guy did this, or I go, no, this is my side, and this is what is true, okay? So, Romans 8:31, okay? One of my favorite passages of Scripture, we're going to end with this verse too. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, we're going to look at in the story today in Acts 24, Paul is dealing with lies about him. And the way he responds is we need to learn how to stand on truth and look at how Paul responds and how to practically put this into our lives. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I love that song we just sang because it's what I pray every time I'm up here. Holy Spirit, don't let us walk out of here the same people that walked in. Draw us closer to you and change us to be more like Jesus. God, give us a God grid, a worldview living in your kingdom where you're on the throne and we live in the world that's our reality. Lord, I pray for everybody that walked in here. We all have burdens. We all have things going on. But Father, this is the most important thing we're going to do today. We're going to meet with you and we're going to hear from you. So Lord, your word never returns void. So thank you for working. If any of my words come out, take them far away from this place. We want to hear from you this morning. You're the one that changes our lives and our hearts. We love you. And everybody said, amen. So we're in Acts 23 and 24 today. I'm going to kind of paraphrase 12 through 22 to get us into chapter 24, because that's the bulk of what I want to look at today. So Acts 23, 12 through 22. Last week when Chad left off and he talked about doing hard things for Jesus, the last thing God says to Paul is he says, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." So while God has a plan for Paul to get to Rome, there are some very angry people that have a different plan for Paul. So the way this plays out in 12 through 22, there's more than 40 Jewish men who come up with this plan to kill Paul. And they're so serious about it that they're willing to not eat or drink until he is dead. That's how up in arms and angry that they are at this guy. Okay, here's how God works. Paul's nephew overhears this plot to kill Paul, and he goes and tells Paul what he heard, okay? So Paul then calls for a Roman centurion to take his nephew to the Roman tribune, and the Roman tribune is the leader who's in charge to basically protect the people, okay? So Paul's nephew relays this message that, hey, there's 40 guys that vowed to never eat or drink until Paul is dead. He tells them of the plot. So the Roman commander, what he does, because he doesn't see any fault in Paul, he gets 470 soldiers, consisting of 200 spearmen, 200 soldiers, and 70 horsemen to take one man on a journey to meet with Felix the governor in Caesarea. Go ahead, pull up my map, Ben, please. So the Caesarea, you can see he's in Jerusalem right now, and then that red line takes him up to Caesarea. It's not Caesarea Philippi where the Philippian church is. That's up northwest, so it's a different Caesarea. So Paul gets a caravan to keep him safe, to protect him, okay? So Paul, he's under the complete protection, and he's moved to plead his case to a higher authority. What I want to touch on real quick, and I don't want you to miss this, is there's this truth called God's providence. Has anybody ever heard of the word providence or God's providence? Okay, good. I'm glad we get to talk on this. Okay, God's providence is God's control and direction of all things to accomplish his will. Nothing happens on this side of heaven that is outside God's control or purpose. He upholds the world, he sustains the world, and all things in it. So God works through people, events, circumstances to accomplish his will and purposes. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph back in the Old Testament, his brothers sell him into slavery. Okay, he gets put in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accuses him of something he didn't do. He gets thrown in prison. Okay, he's forgotten in prison, but yet at the end of the day, he ends up second in command of Egypt. Okay, so God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even if it doesn't seem good at the time. Okay, God has an overall plan and purpose that will get carried out. I've shared this story before, but I just want to remind you. I've experienced God's providence so much in my life. When we moved to Arizona for the first time, I was flying out to Phoenix. It was the day before I flew out, and neighbors we had never talked to walked into my front yard. They were kind of shut-ins. We would wave to them. They walked into our front yard, and they said, "Hey, we hear you're moving to Phoenix." And I was like, "I don't know who you are. What's going on?" I fly tomorrow. I didn't get the job yet, and they said, "Well, if you get the job, we want to buy your house." So we had our house sold before we even got a job offer. So what God wants to do is gonna come to fruition, okay? So I'm not sure if you have those stories in your life, but I have countless stories, okay? But God does things in his timing and in his goodness. So that story of Joseph, it's not good that he's sold into slavery. It's not good that he's accused from Potiphar's wife. But what is good is the end result. So in God's providence, he moves and shapes things in order to accomplish his will. Okay? And why does he do this? He wants to remind us he's with us. And I always say, if we go through a situation in life and the only thing we gain from it is how to depend on God more, then praise God, that's the best lesson we could ever learn in our life. He does it to strengthen us. He does it to teach us to trust him more. And sometimes it's to accomplish a greater good for his kingdom. You know, Jesus teaches us how to pray, "Your will be done." When we pray God's will, it's his providence that moves all things to accomplish his purpose. And that's exactly what God did in this situation with Paul. He said, "You're going to go to Rome." 40 guys said, "We want him dead." God puts Paul's nephew in the situation. His nephew hears, and then Paul gets escorted safely to a different circumstance and situation. Does anybody have any, like, providential stories? Okay. Yeah. Share it with somebody sometime, okay? Encourage each other, because sometimes people don't realize how God works. So don't be afraid to share who and what God, who God is and what he's done in your life. Okay. So Acts 24, 1 through 9. All right, you can follow along, or if you have your notebooks, go ahead and follow along. After 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul, and when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace," he's totally buttering up Felix, okay? "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation in every way and everywhere, we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined the charge, affirming that all these things were so. So this Tertullus guy, he's basically a lawyer to plead the case against Paul. Felix, his role, okay, he's a former slave that rose to power as a governor just by knowing the right people. His brother was friends with Claudius, who was an emperor, and Felix kind of worked his way up into this position. So even though he's in a position of power, he still has a slave mindset, and he's not a good ruler, okay? Even though he's met with flattery from this lawyer, it's all a lie about Felix. Tertullus is just trying to win the case, okay? Felix, he lived an excess life, taking advantage of his title role, and the Jewish people feared him because he massacred thousands of them in Caesarea. There was not peace or prosperity under him. Crime grew a ton under Felix. So what Tertullus is saying is not reality whatsoever. He's just trying to win the case, okay? Let me touch on this real quick. Don't flatter people for your own advantage. I know that goes without saying, but also don't flatter the Lord, okay? Psalm 78 speaks about how when we flatter God, we're lying to him, and God knows our heart. Be pure in heart. The Beatitudes say, be pure in heart, and you will see God. We don't have to butter people up. We don't have to try to manipulate situations, especially the Lord. So, Tertullus, he presents his case that Paul is basically a political danger and that he profaned or dirtied the temple. There's no evidence of this whatsoever. It's hearsay and it's a lie, okay? They call him a Nazarene, which is a really mean thing to say, because Nazarene, it was seen as despised and a lowly place that had a negative reputation. So with his flattering, okay, he has zero evidence against Paul. So what he says is, "Felix, you examine him. See if you can figure out what he did wrong, because he can't come to a conclusion himself," okay? So now it's Paul's turn to respond against these false accusations. And I want to read all of this 10 through 21, okay? Because I want you to try to pick up on the demeanor of Paul. His life's in danger. His life is completely in danger. He's been stoned near death. He's been beaten. He constantly has angry mobs against him. And this is how he responds. "When the governor had nodded his head to him to speak, Paul replied, 'Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they didn't find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way," that's following Jesus, which they call a sect, "I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings in Jerusalem. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation should they have anything against me, or else that these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council. Other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them, it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you to this day." You can almost pick up on Paul's demeanor when he's responding, and it is calm, cool, and collected. Why? There's no charge against him. It's all lies. What Paul's doing is he's demonstrating unwavering faith in the midst of a difficult circumstance. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. If God is for him, who can be against him? I love how it says he cheerfully makes his defense. So I want you to remember this. If there's no accusation against you that is true, then don't get defensive. And what I mean by defensive is don't react with your emotions. Stand on truth. So often when people fight fire, we fight back with fire. Okay? Don't fight fire with fire. Fight fire with your faith, trusting that God is working things out. People are going to make up lies about you. In fact, we're going to get to the point where it's biblical that this is going to happen. Okay? So if there's no accusation against you, don't get defensive. Stand on truth. So often, like I said, we feel like it's an attack on our character and integrity that we have to defend ourselves. You don't have to defend yourself when God's defending you. So in this situation, Paul's saying it's only been 12 days since the events of the accusers, and within 12 days, they don't have any evidence. Did they forget what the evidence was? I don't know about you, but if somebody does something wrong, I carry it a lot longer than 12 days. Okay, I can think back to when I was a kid, things that people did wrong. And what Paul's saying is 12 days ago, and nobody can think of anything that I did. There's zero witnesses. There's tons of accusers, but no witnesses. Okay? It'd be so easy to get up in arms that he's even on trial. And then none of these people show up to accuse him. Okay? Paul demonstrates something that is evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It shows a crazy amount of self-control. Okay? Who wishes they had more self-control? Yeah, everybody laughs. Me. Yep. Okay. Maybe you're like a Tesla, and you, when something happens, you go 0 to 60. Okay. With so much anger, frustration, whatever. When your patience, your character, your integrity are in question. Okay. Why do we react so quickly and so angrily? Because we're out of control of a situation, and we're out of control of a situation. We try to put ourselves back in control, but we end up losing control because we're out of control, okay? So question for you, is God being in control of your life enough for you that you can just let go, know that he's working all things out, and just let truth be truth? It's life. We live in a broken world. People are going to make false accusations against you. Stand firm with unwavering faith that God is fighting your battles. Okay, so when it comes to accusations against you, how do you respond? Okay, here's some alliteration because I'm a pastor. Okay, do you react or rest? Do you react with emotions, frustration, anger, trying to prove a point, or do you rest in the reality that God is fighting your battles for you? Okay, when your name is dragged through the dirt, do you yell or yield? Yielding is letting God go before you. Yielding is letting God work out your battles and letting know that he's working all things together. Okay, when you have persecution or people slander your name and gossip, do you feel betrayed or blessed? Now, why would you feel blessed when people are against you for the sake of Christ? Because it's biblical. It's biblical, and we often forget that because we so live in this kingdom rather than God's kingdom. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes or the blessings or the spiritual happiness, what they are the character traits and realities for those who live with Christ as king and submit to his lordship, okay? And this is the result. So if you have submitted to Christ's lordship, you live with him on the throne, okay, and you walk in obedience and abide in him, and you display these character traits of Christ, this is the result that Jesus himself says, Matthew 5, 10 through 11, blessed or spiritually happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So what's that saying? You walk with Jesus, people are going to make stuff up about you, okay? Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So after Jesus paints this picture of characteristics living in the kingdom of God, he said this is the result. If you live for Jesus, this is bound to happen to you, but yet for some reason we become so surprised when this happens, and we get frustrated, and we react rather than rest, knowing that when you live for Jesus, this is a result. Okay? You will be spiritually happy when you're persecuted and people lie about you. Why can we be spiritually happy? Because like Paul experienced, we get to share in some aspects of Christ's sufferings for Jesus. Okay? Why was Paul tearful in making his defense? Because he was blessed. He knew the words of Jesus, that this was a result of living kingdom-minded. Okay? Acts 24, 22 through 24. Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. So Felix is familiar with Christianity, the way, and he knows about the resurrection, and he gets out of this situation, okay? So he's going to wait for a Roman commander named Lysias to come down to provide more evidence, which there isn't any, okay? The reality is he has enough evidence to rule in Paul's favor. Okay, so Paul's still in custody, but he has a lot of liberty because there's no fault found. Okay, Felix, even though he is familiar and knows Christianity, the way, the resurrection, he tries to stay middle grounded. Okay, he finds nothing wrong with Paul, but he doesn't want to align himself with Paul's teaching of Jesus. So he stays neutral. Okay, the reality is there's no neutral when it comes to spiritual reality. Matthew 12, 20 says, Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." So in his neutrality, okay, he's against God. He's scattering, not bringing together. He's not gathering, okay? So, quick question. Are you gathering or scattering? Are you for God or are you against God? Okay, and you might say, "Well, Brent, I'm completely for God," okay? How is that shown and reflected in your life, okay? Don't kid yourself. Have this honest conversation, take some inventory of yourself and say, "I'm for God, but how does your life reflect that reality? Are you gathering the harvest and carrying the gospel to spread seeds, to water them? Are you just going through the motions? Are you a lukewarm believer that you're kidding yourself? If you're not for him, you're against him." 24 through 27 says, "After some days, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla," beautiful name, okay? Kyle and Jackie, you're having a girl, put that in your pocket. Okay, baby Drusilla. Thank you, guys. Okay, "he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control in the coming judgment," so these three things, righteousness, self-control, and coming judgment, "Felix was alarmed and said, 'Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you.' At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul." So he's waiting for a bribe. "So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." Okay, so the situation seems hopeful, but Felix is a procrastinator. So he calls his wife, okay, to hear the situation of Paul's testimony. Don't know if she wanted to just hear Paul's teachings or he was hoping she was there to help create a verdict. But regardless, there's still no evidence against Paul, and there's another person to hear Paul's message. Drusilla, she's the sister of Herod Agrippa II, which we'll get to in a little bit. Okay, he's an important part of Paul's story. She's very beautiful, and she's about 20 years old. She's Felix's third wife because he seduced her away from her husband. You know, that super healthy romantic stuff that happens. So Paul, what he does, he looks at their situation, and he gives them a three-point sermon based on who they are. Okay, he looked at them and thought of three things they needed to hear in light of his message. He talked about righteousness, which is found in Christ. Okay, talked about self-control because they didn't have any. And then he talked about judgment, which being held accountable on judgment day. Remember, Felix is a procrastinator, so Paul's trying to reveal truth to him and gives them a very personable sermon. So how does Felix respond to this? He responds with fear because it struck a chord in him. I remember in the Columbus Blue Jackets hockey stadium on July 3rd, 2001, that's when I fully submitted my life to Jesus. And there was so much fear in that decision because I knew I had to go all in. Like, I accepted Jesus when I was little. I got baptized when I was 15, but I wasn't fully abiding, surrendered to the Lord. So in that moment, it was like I needed to make that decision, and there was a lot of fear, okay? Fear of, like, what it looked like to fully surrender my life to the Lord, okay? We all have to come to a point where we have to make this decision of being all in with Jesus. And what Felix ends up doing, he ends up rejecting the gospel, okay? Fear can come when you come face to face with the reality that at some point there is a judgment day. And in his delay after hearing this message, he's rejecting. He's rejecting the gospel, showing that he's against Jesus. Whether it was in that moment or down the road, delaying a decision is essentially rejecting Jesus. Because here's the reality, okay? You're not guaranteed tomorrow, okay? When you hear the gospel, you have an opportunity to respond. Why didn't Felix respond to the gospel in that moment? It wasn't convenient for him. That was not the most convenient time to respond to the gospel and give his life to Jesus. And isn't that the killer of all of us living in the will of God and saying yes to him is convenience? A lot of times we respond out of our convenience. I think about Josiah, okay? He totally inconvenienced himself and made himself uncomfortable for the kingdom of God. All right? There's constantly opportunities for us to step in, to love, to say yes to Jesus. But if it's not convenient for us in that moment, we let it fall by the wayside. We delay our yes, and we continue to live our lives separate from the Lord, which is the biggest tragedy we can allow into our lives. Don't respond out of convenience. Respond because of Christ. So the reality is, okay, there's this creator, this good creator that created everything and created you for a purpose, and it's for his glory, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. But because of sin in your life, you don't deserve to be with him. But yet God, in his perfect love and his loving kindness, said, I want to do something about that. I'm going to sacrifice my own son. So the sin that separates us from God, his own son took all of our sin on his shoulders and died for us. So that even though we deserve to be separated from God, because of Jesus, if we have a relationship with him, we get to be reconciled back to this God, this being that is so bigger than we can even imagine, but yet he intimately loves you, created you, knows all the hairs on your head, and he wants a relationship with you, okay? So that's the gospel message. God loves you so much that he gave his son, that if you just believe in him, repent, which means there's a way that you think that is based in sin, and there's a way God thinks. And we fill our life with scripture, we're able to say, my mind isn't thinking the way God thinks. Repent means to do a 180. We turn the other direction and say, I'm going to fill my life with the reality of God, the truth, what he says, and I'm going to live in that. So that's the gospel message. And if you've never received that, never heard that gospel message or never received that gospel message, you have a moment right now where you can say, I believe this message. And you can respond by saying yes and have a relationship with Jesus to be reconciled to God. Okay, if that's not convenient for you, okay, don't base anything off of convenience. We're so self-centered and self-absorbed. Jesus wants to give us the fullest life we can ever imagine, and all we have to say is no to ourselves and yes to him. Okay, so if you have a relationship with Christ, when it comes to following him, do you only base it out of convenience? Do you follow Jesus when it's convenient for you? Or are you willing to inconvenience yourself in light of the gospel? To love him, to serve him, to walk in obedience, okay? So, Felix, hoping to get some money out of a bribe that never came, he makes a political move, hoping to win the favor of the Jews, and he keeps Paul in prison for over 2 years, which is longer than Roman law allows, even though he knew he was innocent, okay? He's against God. He's against God. He's against the gospel. If you're not for God, you're against him. And we'll see in the chapters ahead, man can continue to try to stop God's movement. Man can continue to try to stop Paul. But because of God's providence, his sovereignty, his being in control of all things, God's message is going to continue and Paul's mission is going to continue. So as we wrap this up, I know that these aspects of Acts, there's so much that happens that there's a bunch of, like, it's almost like mini sermons within a sermon. So I want to give you a couple of moments to think about the things that we just talked about, okay? If you want to pull up my next slide. Okay. So, how have you seen God's providence in your life? How have you seen God moving pieces around for his will for your life? If you haven't taken a moment to reflect on that and thank him, at the end of this, I'm going to give you some time to reflect, thank God for who he is, what he's done, how he continues to move in your life. Okay, when it comes to defending yourself, am I yielding or yelling when it comes to people against me? If you're responding out of your emotions rather than standing in the truth of God, this is an easy thing to do. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Say, God, I've been reacting in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And I want to respond and stand in truth. Okay, truth against the lies, but also truth knowing that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Am I procrastinating and making a decision to follow Jesus? Whether that's responding to the gospel message, okay, or even saying yes to Jesus in moments throughout the day, okay? And if I am procrastinating, what's my why? Why am I choosing to do that? And then the last one, am I only following Jesus when it's convenient for me? As you go throughout the day, okay, how are you saying yes to Jesus and no to yourself? Jesus says to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. He's first, others are second, we are third. How does your life reflect that? Okay? And it's easy. Repent. Own it. Ask for forgiveness and say, Jesus, by your Spirit, help me. Help me say yes to you. Enlighten me when there's those moments that come out. Last week, Chad talked about doing the hard things for Jesus. And what we can see by the situation with Paul, God's with us when we say yes to the hard things. And that's never going to change. But sometimes the hard things last a long time. You think about Joseph. That was years before he got put in charge of Egypt. But yet God was still working. Jesus will always be with you when you say yes to the hard things. And he's working it for your good. If I can say one phrase to sum this up, if God is for you, who can be against you? So what we're going to do right now, okay, I want you, let me set it up before we do it. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in a second, okay? But I want to read Romans 8, 31 through 39 over you, okay? It's one of my favorite passages of the scripture, okay? And then when I'm done reading that, music's going to play. Ben, will you put that slide back up, okay? Sit with this. Maybe you're one of these, maybe you're two of these, maybe you're three of these, maybe you're four of these. But don't leave here without reflecting, praising God for who he is, thanking him for his providence. But also, what practical application can you walk out these doors and be different today? That Jesus is shaping you, the Holy Spirit's moving you to be more like Christ, okay? So what do you need to repent from, okay? What do you need to praise God for? And what do you need to work out when it comes to procrastination or convenience when it comes to following Jesus? So I'm going to read this over you. When I say amen, you can put your heads up. You can keep your heads down. But reflect on these, and then we'll close out in worship. But if you would, just please bow your heads. So I just want to read this over you. Maybe you feel like people are against you right now. Maybe you've got a situation where there's lies going against you, people slandering your name. Maybe they're leaving Yelp reviews about you. I've had people throw my name in the mud on Facebook, okay? God fights our battles. If God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8, 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Or personalize that. If God is for me, who can be against me? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Nobody can condemn you. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Listen to this. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. As you reflect this morning, going through those questions, you heard the gospel this morning. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have prayer partners over to the side. I encourage you, okay? It's not convenient for you. Respond to Christ, not convenience. Go over and have a conversation. I know that that's a big ask because you got to get out of your comfort zone, okay? But if you say yes to Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. God wants to give you a life of flourishing through a relationship with his son. God wants to take away the weight that you carry when people false accusations accuse you falsely. Stand firm in the truth of God. He is with you. He is for you. His spirit is in you, and he wants to shine through you. Take a moment to reflect.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. North Bible Church is located in Scottsdale, Arizona, and exists to equip all generations to love God, love one another, and love the world. For more information about North, please visit our website at northbiblechurch.com.